Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and he and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Because of the greatness of your arm, they are still as stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord will reign forever and ever. For when the horses of Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's open in prayer and dive right in. Lord, we need your presence, and we do need your help. As we read and as we pray, we confess how much we need you. And we ask that you would reveal more of your glory and your greatness and your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been in the book of Exodus. We've been studying the book of Exodus on Sundays, and then following up in our home meetings, there's so much in each section that we need both to unpack it. So we've studied here. We have, through the home meetings throughout the week, you can ask questions. We have a curriculum team that has developed a study that's been really great to go through. And so here we are today. The Israelites have just been redeemed, and they sing in praise. And so what we're going to look at today is the nature of praise. And in our text, we're going to see that the nature of praise is personal. And we're going to look simply at why it's personal and then how praise is personal. Why it's personal and how it's personal. First, praise is personal. In 15, right in the beginning of our chapter, we have this. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord. And in verse 21, we have Miriam saying to them, sing to the Lord, right? Now, praise is personal when it's sung to someone, right? Praise is personal when it's sung to someone. We know that that's true. If my wife sings to me a song and she directs it to me personally, for example, happy birthday, dear Scott, right? It's personal. Or at the end of Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life, I was thinking about how George's younger brother, Harry, makes a toast at the very end of the movie. He says, "To my big brother George, the richest man in town." Very poignant moment in the movie, and the whole room bursts into song. And it's deeply personal. The song is deeply personal. When Moses and the people of Israel sang the song of praise in Exodus 15, it's deeply personal as well. They directed their song to the Lord. Israel's praise was so deeply personal to God because they were in relationship with him as their Redeemer. We too need relationship with God in order to praise him deeply and personally. But I've got to warn you, in our spiritual and in our cultural moment, we struggle with being desensitized to having a personal relationship with God. We're desensitized to it. Therefore, our praise suffers, and we suffer too. We really do. Molly Worthen is a New York Times contributing op-ed writer covering religion, ideology, American politics. And in this Friday's edition, she quoted from a podcast entitled The Liturgists. It's a podcast hosted by Michael Gunger, a musician, and Mike McHargue, a science writer. Both are former evangelicals. And they told her that they started the podcast out of a sense of existential loneliness. In the broadcast, they broadcast liturgical music, meditations, and interviews with theologians and activists. And Mike McHargue told her this. He said, "As America deinstitutionalizes and moves away from religion, people, especially millennials, have lost something. Their community becomes primarily virtual. They're seeing people through a screen and not flesh and blood. And there's great data that this leads them to loneliness and depression." Loneliness and depression. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you hear what she's writing? A collection of primarily virtual relationships can desensitize us to what relationships actually are and can lead us to loneliness and depression. The more people that we see through a screen and not in flesh and blood, the more we get lonely and depressed. Fascinating. I think that the same is true spiritually as well, of our spirituality. Because we are increasingly virtual and desensitized to what relationships are, we're also desensitized and becoming desensitized to what relationship with the Lord is. As a result, our praise can become stunted, impersonal, lonely, depressing. That's sad. Praise is meant to be vitally personal. Not lonely, not depressed. Praise is sung, and as it's sung to the Lord, right? Then Moses and the people of Israel sang a song to the Lord, saying, "I will sing to the Lord." And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord." Now you see why it's personal? It's relationship. Now let's look at how praise is personal. Whether you look back in life, well, here, think about this. Consider some ways of how praise to the Lord is personal. The first thing is that praise recounts. Praise recounts. When you look back in life and are consumed about the ways in which you've succeeded, or you look back and you're consumed with the ways that you failed, or you look to the future and you become anxious about your success or your failure, where's the focus? The focus is on you, right? You cannot engage in personal praise if you recount that way. Instead, you've got to recount who the Lord is and what he's done on your behalf. Praise him and not yourself. Recount him and not yourself. 15:1, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is triumphantly glorious. He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." You see? "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed, for he has triumphed." So praise recounts, but also praise identifies. Praise identifies. Now, we can lose ourselves in self-focus. We can say things to ourselves like, "Hey, I want to be powerful," or "I want to be comfortable," or "I want to be in control," or "I want others to think well of me." But in praise, we identify ourselves with who the Lord is and what he's done on our behalf. In 15:2, we have this: "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So praise recounts, it identifies, but further praise contrasts. It contrasts. Now I want you to think about this for a second. If you've listened at all to our cultural moment, you know this is true. There's a very strong movement in our cultural and spiritual moment that teaches that the universe will give you things. Have you heard people say that? The universe will give you things. Praise has to contrast. The universe is not God. The universe was created by God. At the very beginning of the Bible, the very first thing, the very first line that we read is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the Psalter, which is used for singing praise to God by his people for millennia, Psalm 19 teaches us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies above proclaims his handiwork. Praise that is personal with God discerns those kinds of differences between what culture says and what God, who God actually is. In 15, 11, and 12, we see this, their worship, their praise, God's people's praise says this: who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Remember, he had just defeated all of Egypt's so-called gods that weren't gods. Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in your glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. All right, so praise that's personal, it recounts, it identifies, it contrasts, praise hopes. Earlier we mentioned the loneliness and depression that we feel when we're desensitized to a personal relationship with God. But real personal praise is not just mindful of what the Lord has done or is doing, but also of what the Lord will do. Praise hopes in the trustworthy and steadfast character of God to follow through on his promises. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, you will bring them in, meaning God's people, and plant them on your mountain, your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. You will bring them in and plant them. God's people have a hope when they praise. They look not just back at what God has done or what he's doing in the present, but they look forward to the future with what he will accomplish yet on their behalf. So praise recounts, it identifies, it contrasts, it hopes. Another aspect is that praise dances and sings. Praise dances and sings. Many people struggle. Many people struggle with timidity in the way that they sing on Sunday, or in the way that they raise their hands or move to the music of praise, because there are other people around. And when we do that, we miss the nature of praise. When we focus on us and what people might think of us, we miss the nature of praise. Personal praise involves the whole body. It involves the whole voice. You know, I didn't have quite the understanding that I have this as I do now, because a couple of years ago, I took a role playing Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. And I worked for a solid year to get my voice strong enough to do the role. And there was a moment as I was practicing where I got a whole bunch of resonance right in my head. And as I kept strengthening, that resonance took over and took over my chest and head too. And at one point, it just felt like all of this sound was coming from all of this area from my body. And it was powerful. And it was as loud as I've ever been as a person. The loudest noise I've ever made as a person. And it felt tremendous. Praise is meant to do that. We sing because we need praise in our body. We need to feel it in our lungs and in our vocal cords and resonating through our chest and our head and our body. We need to remember with sound, right? Personal praise involves the whole body, involves the voice, it involves instruments, it involves rhythm, it involves doing all of this together with others. In verse 20, we see then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. I have a friend who's a very talented pianist and worship leader, and he's played professionally and written professionally over the years. And a number of years ago now, it's quite a number of years ago now, he went to visit some Christians in Uganda, and he was able to join them for a service of praise and worship before the Lord. And during the service, the Ugandans sang a song of praise that my friend at the time, remember this is back now, he had known, and he had often played and led churches and singing here in the U.S. The song was "We Bow Down." And the chorus repeats the words, "We bow down and we worship you, Lord." It does that three times, and it ends with, "Lord of all lords you will be." One of the most delightful moments for my friend as he led his Ugandan friends in singing was that when the Ugandans were singing, they were actually bowing down. They were touching their foreheads to the earth, and they were coming back up, and they were bowing down again as they sang, "We bow down," and they were coming up, and they were bowing down again, and they were flowing with the music to bow down and again, and not just involving their voice, but their whole bodies in praise. Now, there's something powerful about involving all of who we are in praise. There's something deeply personal about it, and that's the way praise should be. It should be powerful. It should be personal, and it's to the Lord. Friends, I want you to fast forward. There was a moment when Jesus was about to redeem in such a powerful way, and the people didn't fully recognize it, but they recognized something was going on, and they were praising his entrance to do the task that he came to do. And in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 19, we read this about the Lord's presence with his people. Luke records, "The whole multitude of Jesus' disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Get this, some of the Pharisees, religious leaders of the day, they were in the crowd, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They felt that such praise was inappropriate. You know what Jesus said to them? He said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Friends, don't be silent. Praise God. As Simeon says every week, as he said this week, sing out, church. Let your bodies be involved. Let your voices be involved. Let your hearts be involved. For if you're silent, the very stones would cry out at the greatness of our Redeemer, Savior, and Lord. But the great news, friends, is that you don't have to be silent. You have one who was silent on your behalf as he went to the cross, as he broke through the power of sin and death on our behalf, as he rose again. He declared a newness of life to us. He says, "I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Something changed in the way that he accomplished salvation for us, redemption for us, where God, he was the only one to call God his Father. He was the only one to say that he was, his God was his God, his Father. And now he changes it. After he rose from the dead, he calls God our Father. He calls God our God. He's ended the chasm between us. So what is left? We have boldness. We can access the throne of grace confidently and freely. For what? For folding our arms and being timid? We have a great salvation. Open up yourself to the Lord. He's given everything for you. And you'll see the transformative power of praising him. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful that you, we're grateful that you're so great. You're so loving, you're so kind, you're so awesome, and you redeem so mightily, you save so mightily. And so we come to you now, and we offer all of who we are to you, and we offer all of our hearts to you. And for those who are with us at this moment, those of us who are struggling, those of us who are not wanting, not sure if they can come to you, not wanting to come to you, not knowing if they can come to you, meet them. Be their God, be our God, and transform us through the wonder of praise, the nature of which is very personal. Thank you for being in personal relationship with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.